and welcome to the program. Today we're in our 28th message in the book of John. We're in John chapter 19. If you can, have your Bible ready. Previous program, we have seen the trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin was illegal. Just a few more thoughts on that. The capital offenses could be tried by a quorum of 23. A case concerning a false prophet, however, had to be brought before the entire Sanhedrin of 71 members. The judges were to sit in a semicircle with the president in the middle so that the faces of each judge might be seen by one another. The witnesses were to be strictly separated and examined individually. If the testimony of two agreed, it was taken as valid. When the case involved the death penalty, the witnesses were cautioned as to the consequences of their testimony. They were not allowed to inject their own conjectures or hearsay into the proceedings. In capital cases, everything was done to give the accused the benefit of the doubt. Votes for an acquittal were to be taken first. Although civil cases could be tried at night, decisions had to be returned during the day. Capital cases could be tried by day only. An acquittal could be pronounced on the day it was reached, but a sentence of condemnation leading to the death sentence could not be given until the next day, allowing time for a change of mind. Capital cases could not be tried on the eve of a Sabbath or a feast. In cases of alleged blasphemy, the witnesses were rigorously cross-examined to ascertain the exact words used by the accused. If blasphemy was established, the judges stood and rent their clothes. On the way to the execution, further efforts were made to establish the prisoner's innocence. Four or five times, opportunity was provided for the condemned to bring fresh pleas that might exonerate him. A herald went ahead of the procession, proclaiming the name of the prisoner, the name of his father, the nature of his offense, the names of the witnesses on whose testimony he was condemned, and the herald urged everyone who could prove his innocence to step forward. The blasphemer was to be stoned. The witnesses on whose testimony he had been condemned were to cast the first stones. After the stoning, the blasphemer's corpse was to be hung on a gibbet, taken down the same night, and buried in a common grave. These are the things that, according to the Jewish law, the Jewish Sanhedrin were to do. None of these things were followed when Jesus was tried before the Jewish Sanhedrin. It was totally and completely illegal. As we come into John chapter 19, we see that part of the trial that was before Pilate. And in verse number 1, we read, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they smote him with their hands." What kind of a trial do you call this? You call it an absolute farce. That's what you call it. Before we look at this chapter, listen to this message in song, because this is where we're going as we get to the cross. Jesus paid it all to him I owe.
I hear the Savior say, "My strength indeed is small.
child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
John chapter 19, verse 1, we have the scourging. It says that Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Now, what happened is Jesus would be fastened to a post. A soldier with a whip that has pieces of metal or bone in it would be come down with a terrible blow on his back. The flesh would be ripped from his bones. Often during the scourging, internal organs were exposed. It was common for people to die when they were at the whipping post. One day, Pilate will stand before the Lord and give an account for what he did. The Bible says when Jesus comes back, he came as a lamb the first time. When he comes back, he's coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah. There's a definite difference between a lamb and a lion. Their disposition is really quite different. The Bible says when Jesus comes back for judgment, there will be wrath without mixture. Now the wrath of God is mixed with his mercy. Then it will be wrath without mixture. Pilate will give an answer for that scourging. Well, then when we get to verse number 2, we see the scoffing of the soldiers. It says, and the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Now the thorns, back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 18, the thorns were a symbol of the curse. They put on a purple robe and they smote him. In Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14, it says his visage was so marred more than any man. The word visage has been translated appearance 35 times. His appearance was marred more than any man. When it says they smote him with their hands, it means that they kept punching him and punching him and punching him over and over until his appearance was so marred more than any man. Verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know I find no fault in him. well, what's this all about? What's this scourging? What is this you're allowing the soldiers to do here? I find no fault in him. Verse 5, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Behold the man. Well, he said, I find no fault in him. Luke 23, 4, I find no fault in this man. Luke 23, 14, I have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. John 18, 38, I find no fault in him at all. John 19 and 4 and John 19 and 6, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. He will answer. One day he will stand before God, as will the soldiers, and all of those who were there that day, and give an account. And so will you, and so will I. What will we do with Jesus? Neutral we cannot be. One day our heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Well, the chief priests come in the picture now. And when the chief priests, verse 6, when the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Well, what he should have said was, Hey, we're going to let him go. I find no fault in him. It's supposed to be a trial here. Well, verse 7, the Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Now, that got Pilate's attention. We read in verse 8, When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Who is it that delivered him? Who is it that delivered Jesus unto Pilate? He that delivered me. Some have thought Judas delivered him. No, Judas delivered him to the Jews. And the word is used here concerning Judas in the New Testament 15 times in John, and is sometimes translated betrayed. But Judas delivered Christ to the Jews. Caiaphas delivered him to Pilate. Well, as we've said, both Judas and Caiaphas and all those who were involved, and all of us, one day, every knee shall bow, and we will give an account. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. Well, verse 12, we read, And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Well, now Pilate has to choose. See, we all have no choice but to choose. Pilate, will you choose Christ or will you choose Caesar? Well, verse 13 gives us the answer. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And so we read here, and it was the preparation, verse 14, it was the preparation of the Passover and the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Isn't that amazing? Now, it was the day of the Passover, and all four Gospels tell us it was the Passover day when the lambs were being slaughtered, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, if we are using Hebrew time, that would be midnight. If John is referring to Roman time, that would be 6 o'clock in the morning. He saith unto them, Behold your king. They said, We have no king but Caesar. Isn't that interesting? The Jews hated Rome. They hated their occupying army. They hated their governor. They hated Caesar. In less than 40 years down the road, a vicious war would break out trying to rid themselves of Caesar. And then 60 years after that, they'd have another war. And yet these people say, "We have no king but Caesar." They chose Caesar over Christ, as did Pilate. "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away." Who are they? The official custodians of the Jewish faith. They would rather have Caesar than Jesus Christ. And as we find, they would rather have Barabbas. Release Barabbas, that dirty killer, and give us Jesus to be crucified. Verse 17, we read, "And bearing his cross, he went forth unto a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and in Greek and in Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, 'Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews.' And Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.'" Well, we have this wicked man by the name of Pilate proclaiming the truth. It is pleasing Pilate to do that. He said, "What I have written, I have written." This is one place where he's going to win over these Jews, because he hasn't won all night in trying to get Jesus released just for his own sake. He's a wicked, wicked man. Well, he's proclaiming the truth. The Bible says that even the unsaved will do that sometimes. He is pleasing himself, but he is provoking the Jews. Well, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top to the bottom. And they said, therefore, among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be." Why did they do that? That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, "They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots." These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Way back in Psalm 22, verse number 18, hundreds of years before, the Bible says they would do that. Now in verse 25, we read, "There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved," that was John, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Jesus was not going to leave his mother to live with those unbelieving sons of hers, his stepbrothers. No, he said, "John, you take her." And he took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst," that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Well, Psalm 22:6, his hands and feet would be pierced, that's been fulfilled. Psalm 22:8, he would be mocked, that's been done. Psalm 22:18, they would gamble for his clothes. And Psalm 22:1, he would be forsaken by his father. But there's one more. It says, verse 29, "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth." Why did they do that? Because Psalm 69:21 says, "In my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Is it any wonder the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, "No, to God. That is just foolishness. All of these scripture after scripture after scripture that were prophesied came to pass in detail, and yet we just go on pretending like Jesus is just somebody we have a good time with at Christmas, a little baby in a manger. And even then, we change all that, and we get some jerk with a big fat red suit on and reindeer jumping from roof to roof, replacing the true meaning of Christmas. And then we'll say, well, he rose from the dead. Yeah, we will replace that with Easter bunnies laying eggs. Well, in verse number 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. No one can add to a work that is finished.
I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Left a crimson stain, he washed it white as